is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Thursday, the 21st day of March, 2024. And this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain on X, Facebook, and Rumble. And then the audio podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. You can head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are certain to find something worth listening to. I guarantee it. All right. How is everybody this fine Thursday morning? Hope you've got coffee. As I do. Yeah, this is, once again, I'm drinking Costco's San Francisco Bay French Roast because it's cheap and still relatively good. But I have bags of coffee in the hallway. So as soon as this one's over, I've got some Herb's House House Blend. And I've got some Herb's House Shepherd's Blend, which they gave us at Shepherd's Conference, which is a blend that Herb's House has put out that a portion of which goes to support the MacArthur Charitable Trust. So that is a good, I'm looking forward to trying it. I haven't tried it. So I've got that. They gave a bunch of those away. As I saw Kent Stainback across the worship center at one point and tried to make it over there to say hi to him. But by the time I got across the room, he was long gone, and I was not able to track him down the rest of the week when I was down at Shepherd's Conference. So I haven't actually chatted with, I would say the last time I chatted with Kent would have been at the 2019 Shepherd's Conference. And that was just a brief, I was running to catch up with some people. He was in line for lunch and basically just said hi and got a run and took off. And so I haven't had a chance to talk to him. I had a great talk to him back in 2018 when I was down in Dallas for the Southern Baptist Convention. And I remember Tom Buck and I went by Herb's House for coffee, and Kent came in. His office is upstairs. Of course, he owns the Stainback Real Estate Group. The coffee house is just the bottom floor of his office building. And he just stopped by because he wanted to, he needed to tell the folks at the coffee shop something. He was on his way home. And so I was able to say hi to him and everything, and he sat down, and he and Tom Buck and I chatted for probably an hour. I hope he wasn't in too much trouble being late getting home. But that was a real good sit down with him. I've had a couple of those, but great guy. So if you watch the Bible study that takes place at Herb's House Coffee, I've never been to the Bible study because I've never been there. I was going to go when I was down there in 2018, but that was one of the weeks that Steve Lawson was out of town, so they didn't have it. I had made plans to go and stop by for the Bible study live. And now, of course, I didn't watch it this morning. I'll catch the replay later this morning. I haven't been able to watch live in a while just because I'm getting ready for the webcast, but I have thoroughly, if you do not watch the Bible study from One Passion Ministries that is Thursday mornings at Herb's House Coffee in Texas, I believe 7 o'clock Central Time, it's on, you know, YouTube and Facebook and X. They live stream it. If you follow Steve Lawson on X, it's live streamed right there. Or if you follow One Passion Ministry, it's live streamed right there. Or, as I said, YouTube even if you go to the One Passion Ministry's website, there's a live link there during the Bible study. Also, you can go to their website, and there's a calendar of when Steve's going to be in town and not. Because, of course, if he's traveling, they don't do it. So there's in the summer, and summer's coming up, it's going to be hit and miss whether you'll have Steve there. But right now, this spring, except for the week of Shepherd's Conference, he's been there pretty much this year. He's going through the Sermon on the Mount right now. Great study. Great study. I don't know if anything is going to top the Bible study that he did through Romans. And that is, I believe, Volume 1 is coming out next year. That Bible study that he did through Romans is being turned into a commentary. And that is going to be fabulous. Because that study through Romans was fantastic. And of course, all of those are still on the One Passion website. You can find the YouTube links to go back and go through first Romans. And after Romans was complete, he did 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And now he's doing the Sermon on the Mount. And it is just fabulous Bible study. If you're looking for good, in-depth Bible study, I can't stress enough how great Steve Lawson's Bible study is that is done at Herb's House. But I've got some Herb's House coffee in the hallway. I'm looking forward to digging into that when I finish this bag of Costco coffee. And this isn't bad. It's not as good as some of the other coffees I drink, but it's not bad. Hey, we all have to have our, got to have the cheap alternative because nothing's getting cheaper. Nothing's getting cheaper. Transportation costs and all sorts of stuff. I mean, the economy is not good. And things are getting more and more expensive. And I'm kind of brokenhearted. As many of you know, I used to work at a sawmill. And made very good money doing it. And that sawmill employed about 600 people. And those were 600 high-paying jobs that helped support the economy of Missoula, Montana, which is where the mill was just outside of Missoula. So most of the people lived in Missoula. I, of course, lived out here in Mineral County, but still. And that was, until it shut down, that was the longest operating sawmill west of the Mississippi River. When I was in high school, this is timber country. This was logging country. And when I was in high school, most everybody's dad, my classmates' dads, all worked in the forest products industry. They were loggers. They drove logging truck. They worked at one of the mills. Even my dad built houses. So he was using the end product of the lumber industry. And so we had a paper mill in Frenchtown that used up all of the chips and sawdust from all of the surrounding lumber mills. The paper mill was there because they could get the byproducts of the lumber mills to make paper out of. And they made cardboard, liner board, the big, the thick brown paper that cardboard boxes are made out of. That's what they made there. Very, very, very big mill, employed a lot of the people, and most of my classmates' dads worked at that mill. So, I grew up in this climate of the lumber industry. And so looking at, and I'm saying I'm I'm saddened. And the reason I'm saddened is when I moved to Missoula in the late 70s at the age of 11, there were four lumber mills in Missoula. You had two Champion mills, you had White Pine and Sash, and you had the Louisiana Pacific particle board plant. The particle board plant was a lot like the paper mill in that that particle board plant used the sawdust from all the surrounding sawmills, and that was what was used to make the particle board. You mix the sawdust with a binder and then using high temperature, high pressure presses, it's made into boards. And you use it all the time. Most of your, I mean, these bookcases behind me are made out of particle board. Because it's relatively inexpensive. Can't use it really in a lot of, high moisture environments. But even then, most of your bathroom countertops and kitchen countertops have a plywood, a particle board core. So, you know, don't knock it. Your house probably has a lot of particle board in it. But it used the byproducts of the surrounding sawmills. So that was, 45 years ago that all of these sawmills were operating. They're all gone now. The Champion mills have been gone for a long time, with Bonner being the last one of those old Champion mills to shut down. It was owned by Stimson Lumber at the time because Champion had gone out of business. And so the Champion mills were sold to Stimson Lumber, while the Champion timberlands were sold to Plum Creek Timber. Well, we've been watching all these mills close. The mill that I worked at closed in 2008. Now there's an industrial park there and there's several businesses in there, but it doesn't employ anywhere near the 600 people it did back during the day. And then you had the paper mill out in Frenchtown. It employed 400 people. So all of these mills, these were the high paying jobs that, 20 years ago, they were paying $25, $30 an hour for some positions, which was head and shoulders above, Walmart and Kmart and the grocery stores. And all of these mills are gone now. Most recently, they just announced that Pyramid Lumber up in Sealy Lake is shutting down. Now, they're going to run out the logs that they have already purchased that are in their log yard. So the mill is going to operate into mid-late summer. But they've quit buying logs. So all of the loggers and log truck drivers are out of business. And so that mill is shutting down after I don't know how many years. And it was just announced yesterday, the day before, that the particle board plant in Missoula, which was the last mill in Missoula to still be there, it's shutting down. So all of these mills are gone. Yet we're still building with wood. We're still surrounded by products made from wood. What happened? Well, most of the wood products that we're using today are coming from Canada. And Canada is able to undercut the American mills because the Canadian government still supplies low-cost raw timber to the Canadian wood products industry. Whereas the American federal forests, the National Forest Service, which is part of the Department of Agriculture, because when it was formed, everybody recognized that timber was a crop. You grow it, you harvest it, you plant it, you grow it again, you harvest it, you plant it. It's a crop. And so it was part of the Department of Agriculture, but the Forest Service, the U.S. Forest Service, has been taken over by environmental radicalists. And there has not been sizable timber sales off federal lands in the United States in decades. Well, why did we have all the sawmills around here? Because this is where the timber was. The chartered purpose of the Forest Service was to ensure a timber supply for the lumber industry. That's why it exists. Yet, you can't harvest timber off of Forest Service land anymore. Even when there's been a fire, they resist allowing the timber companies to go in and cut down the burnt wood, the burnt trees, because there's still a core of good usable wood in there. They won't let them do that. So it ends up rotting and it provides fuel for the next fire. We had several years ago, just across the highway here, the biggest fire that I've ever lived close to, the Sunrise Fire. And talking to, because we went to, they had the daily info meetings just down the road here at the Lozo Lodge. And we would go down to the Lozo Lodge and listen to the incident commander talking about what they're facing in the woods, because all of our houses were threatened by this. And one of the things that he said was that it is so tangled with foreign or with fallen timber that he couldn't put ground crews in there, because if the wind shifted and if the fire ran, there was no way they could outrun the fire dealing with all the fallen logs and the clutter on the ground. It wouldn't have been safe to put a lot of firefighters on the ground. So they had to pull way back and cut fire lines way back and allow a larger portion than they would have normally to burn, because they couldn't actually get in and fight it directly because the conditions were so unsafe and the fuel load was so high. Well, the reason the conditions were unsafe and the fuel load was so high is they haven't logged it in forever. They haven't been allowed to log it because it's Forest Service. Indeed, they had old loggers coming in and telling them where the old logging roads were, because those logging roads had been gated off and overgrown. And so old loggers from the 70s were telling them where these roads were, because while they were all overgrown, they weren't as thickly overgrown as other places. And boy, they sent the bulldozers in there and they opened those roads back up so they could get the fire crews in. There used to be a network of Forest Service roads, you know, logging roads, all over these mountains where I live. Most of them, they were gated off. They were ripped up. They were allowed to be overgrown because of the earth-worshipping environmentalists. And it has shut down the timber industry. Meanwhile, they don't have that problem in Canada. Now, it's not that Canada doesn't have its liberal environmentalists. They do. But the thing with Canada is roughly the size of the United States in landmass. Yet, it only has like 35 million people. So they still have vast uninhabited regions where they can go in and harvest timber and nobody ever sees it, so nobody ever says anything. But here's the thing, you know, the environmentalists get all upset when they see an area of forest that's been harvested. Yet these same people don't get upset in the fall when they drive past a wheat field that's been harvested. It's a crop. It grows back. And nobody clear cuts anymore. They learned real quick that was a bad idea. How it worked was you had the development of mechanized logging, chainsaws and all that. You know, they went from the hand-powered misery whip saws where they were cutting down trees by hand to chainsaws, so that all of a sudden a small crew could harvest a lot more trees in a short amount of time. And in doing that, they found out that they shouldn't cut that much wood. And so, you know, that was a learning curve. Same thing happened with the Dust Bowl. When they discovered that they could plow up more land and plow it up faster and didn't know what they were doing, because going from a horse-drawn plow to tractor-drawn plows, it took a while to develop the understanding of how to do that with mechanized farming. Same with mechanized logging. So there's no clear cuts anymore. It's all selectively logged. But the environmentalists have killed the wood products industry in the Western U.S. And it's not good. It's not good because that was the basis for a lot of our economy. I live near Superior, Montana, which is a logging and mining town with no logging and no mining. You go back 100 years and you had 30, 40,000 people in Mineral County during the construction of the railroad, in addition to all the logging and stuff. You had a lot of people out here because there was a lot of work out here. Now we have, I think, 4,000 to 5,000 people in the county because all the jobs are gone. All the jobs are gone. You have a lot of retired folks in Mineral County. You have a lot of people on welfare in Mineral County. And I say about a third of the population of Mineral County works. Half of those who are working have all the jobs in Mineral County. The other half drive into Missoula. And that's just a fact of life. And it's because the logging industry has been shut down. And I said, it's been shut down because of the environmentalists. And so I'm watching these mills close, and it breaks my heart. Because I remember the late 70s, early 80s, when you routinely saw log trucks. They were all over the roads. You know how long? It's rare that I see a logging truck anymore. But I used to see a bunch of them. You know, you'd just drive down the road and there'd be logging trucks everywhere because they were coming down all these drainages where there was logging going on, hitting the freeway and heading to one of the mills. And you saw them all over the place. They're all gone. Now, logging truck drivers are crazy. I admit that. Logging truck drivers are crazy. But I sure wish they had work. So it's a sad thing to watch the Pyramid Lumber close down in Seeley Lake and watch the it's Roseburg Forest Products now. It used to be Louisiana Pacific particle board plant closing down. It's heartbreaking to watch these mills close. Because these are good paying jobs that support families and those jobs are going away. And it's just, you know, I've talked to a lot of people my age and older that we all worked in the woods or at the mills. I remember when I got on at the mill, I assumed I'd retire from there because, you know, I wasn't going to find another job that made that kind of money. But then 2008, that mill shut down. And I drive past it every time I go to Ovando to preach, or every time I go up to camp. I drive past that mill, and it makes me sad because I remember the people that worked there. I remember the people I worked with. You know, I remember you had, you know, young families raising kids on what dad was making at the mill. And mom, I mean, there were women working there too. Some of the toughest women I ever knew were working in the sawmill. So, you know, it's one of these things that you just watch the economy shifting. And I think we're experiencing now what the quote unquote Rust Belt experienced back in the 70s when all the steel plants started shutting down and the economy on the East Coast and the Northeast, the steel mills and whatever, Pennsylvania, when they were shutting down because we were buying all of our steel from Japan or China. It's sad to see our manufacturing go away. And I've said this before, but it's so very true. We could not fight World War II today because we couldn't manufacture the ships, the planes, the guns, the ammunition, the tanks. We don't have the manufacturing base anymore. We couldn't make that stuff here. We couldn't make the smart bombs that our aircraft drop because they require chips from Singapore and Taiwan. We don't make those computer chips here anymore. And we don't have the plants. You look back at World War II. The United States converted its entire industry to manufacturing airplanes and tanks and ships and weapons and ammunition. Our entire industry, all of the Ford and Chevrolet plants were making tanks and airplanes. You know, it was just a massive, you know, and building new plants to keep going. But our entire industry was focused on manufacturing weapons, not just for our military, but for the military of our allies. You know, weapons and ammunition and stuff. The compared to World War II, the amount of ammunition that we've given to Ukraine is nothing. Artillery shells and stuff like that. Compared to what we were manufacturing in World War II, yet they're saying it's going to take us 20 years to replace that in our inventory because we don't have that kind of manufacturing anymore. We don't, you know, look at all the shuttered car plants. The Democrat Party and the United Auto Workers killed Detroit. The American auto industry killed it. You know, General Motors is not the behemoth it once was. It's not I think Toyota surpassed General Motors as the largest car company in the world years ago. We don't have the factories. They're all shut down. They're rusted. The equipment's been sold and everything else has been scrapped. I don't see how we could ever even gear up to do something like that. And this is not good for national security. It's not good for us to be dependent on foreign sources for so much. I thought we learned that lesson in 2020 when the supply chain dried up because of the things that were going on then. All the people being out of work and stuff. And all of a sudden, we couldn't get the things that we were getting from China and Japan and Korea that were coming over on the ships. And then, you know, didn't have the personnel to unload them once they got here. It was a bad situation all around. Now, a lot of that's picked back up, but we're still dependent on those imports. And that's not good for the United States. It really isn't. It's not good for any nation to be that dependent on foreign nations. Imports should be luxuries. Imports should be, you know, things that you don't need but you want and can get cheaper somewhere else. I remember the old import markets and Pier 1 exports and stuff. You'd go in there and you'd be cheap stuff. You know, knickknacks for decorating and stuff like that. You know, it wasn't essential stuff. Your essential stuff was still manufactured here in the United States. You know, washers and dryers, hot water heaters, stoves, ovens, all that stuff used to be made here. Now so much of it is made in northern Mexico by Chinese-owned Mexican factories because China, realizing that they have huge trade deficits or huge tariffs for shipping things over here from China and realizing that they can ship things from Mexico with very little tariff, they've put their factories in Mexico now. That was what the Chinese effect on the auto industry was what former President Trump was talking about the other day when he mentioned the bloodbath. He was talking about the effect on the car industry. It's going to be a bloodbath unless something is done to stop it. So that was a totally unplanned monologue dealing with the economy. What else do we got going on today? Well, I am going to skip Theology Thursday because we just did a Thursday edition of Monday Meandering. I'm going to skip Theology Thursday because we don't have time to do it now. So next Thursday, we will pick up in the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith on chapter 20. But now in the time remaining to us today, let's do our scripture reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. Let's do our prayers from the Book of Common Prayer and a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. Let us continue now with the prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now our prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. All right, our scripture reading today is Exodus 11 and Psalm 61. Exodus chapter 11. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "One more plague I will bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out from here completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people, so that each man may ask from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor for articles of silver and articles of gold." And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses himself was very great in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. So Moses said, "Thus says Yahweh, about midnight I am going out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the servant girl who is behind the millstones, and all the firstborn of the cattle. Moreover, there shall be a great cry in all the land of Egypt, such as has not been before, and such as shall never be again. But for any of the sons of Israel, a dog will not even bark, whether against man or beast, that you may know how Yahweh makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Then all these your servants will come down to me and bow themselves before me, saying, 'Go out, you and all the people who follow you,' and after that I will go out." And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Pharaoh will not listen to you, so that my miraculous wonders will be multiplied in the land of Egypt." Now Moses and Aaron did all these miraculous wonders before Pharaoh, yet Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart with strength, and he did not let the sons of Israel go out of his land. Now Psalm 61. Psalm 61, for the choir director, on a stringed instrument, of David. Hear my cry of lamentation, O God, give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I shall call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength before the enemy. Let me sojourn in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the inheritance of those who fear your name. You will add days to the king's life. His years will be from generation to generation. He will sit enthroned before God forever. Appoint loving kindness and truth that they may guard him. So I will sing praise to your name forever as I pay my vows day by day. This is the word of the Lord. Now our reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. Today's devotional is entitled, Jesus Heals Peter's Mother-in-Law. When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. Matthew 8:14-15. Dr. MacArthur writes, through the centuries, most male Jews have displayed much prejudice toward women, as evidenced by the old prayer, Lord, I thank thee that I was not born a slave, a Gentile, or a woman. But here, Jesus, just as with the leper and the Gentile centurion, shows mercy and compassion to an outsider, a woman, someone not favored by the Jewish establishment. He cuts through the unscriptural attitude of proud Jewish men to demonstrate again that physical health, race, status, or a person's sex gain no advantage with him. When Jesus arrived at Peter's home with some of the disciples, Peter's mother-in-law was ill, and Mark adds, immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. That's Mark 1:30. Luke the physician notes that she had a high fever, Luke 4:38. Though none of the narratives say what caused her illness. That the fever was high suggests that she was seriously ill and maybe in danger of death. Christ once again responded without delay and healed Peter's mother-in-law immediately. She was not only a woman, but also a Jew, which meant that although the Lord had warned the Jews about presuming upon salvation, he had not completely forsaken them, as ministry to Peter's relative powerfully showed. The fact that salvation was available to faithful Gentiles did not mean it was now unavailable to faithful Jews. Paul later wrote, God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. In the same way, then, there has also come to be, at the present time, a remnant according to God's gracious choice. Romans 11:2-5. Ask yourself, among all religions, none has a higher view of women than does Christianity. And yet, it's fair to ask ourselves if chauvinism is present within our hearts. Christ honored women, so should we. That's so true that what Dr. MacArthur points out there. Because I think about the fact that in all of the world, the only places where women have rights is places with a Christian tradition. You can go back and look at how women are treated in sub-Saharan Africa, apart from Christian households. Look at how women are treated in China. Look at how women are treated in the Middle East. Look wherever there is not a Christian tradition and see how women are treated. And then you realize that no, Christianity is not oppressive to women. It is only in Christianity that women are valued. And that is something that probably frustrates feminists to no end, because they want to blame Christian patriarchy for everything. And I read just recently a conversation between an atheist and a Christian. And the atheist says, you know, there are millions of people believe in millions of different gods. Which one's real? And the Christian says, the one you hate. And there's a lot of truth to that. Because they don't hate on Buddha or Krishna or Confucius or anybody, you know. The hatred is all directed at Yahweh and his Christ. So, you know, that it's clear. Why do they hate that one God out of all of the purported gods in the world? Because he is God. And they are suppressing the truth in their unrighteousness. They know he's God. And they suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. So same thing with feminism, wanting to believe that Christianity is the worst oppressor of women on the globe, when the truth is that the Christian faith is the only reason that women have rights in the world. And that's just a fact. And you can argue with me about it all day long if you want, but it's the fact. All right, let us now recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Oh, I didn't copy the correct collect over. Just a moment. I'm going to switch to yesterday's notes because I have the collect of the week. Just having one of those days, huh? Please stand by. Small technical difficulty here. All right. The Collect for the fifth Sunday in Lent. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of this world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now the collect for guidance. Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life, we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And for the unrepentant, we pray. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son, you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is a very disjointed and unscripted squirrel chatter for this Thursday. I would apologize for my rant, but I don't apologize for it. I think it's something that needs to be said from time to time, that we would be like the men of Issachar and would be aware of what's going on in the world around us. Understand that the nation that we live in, the United States of America, is in decline. And that decline, it would, you know, will it or will it not ever be corrected? I don't know. If God has mercy, we might turn this around. But I believe we are under the judgment of God, and I think it is only the beginning of the downslide. And all who would, you know, that don't want to see that and don't want to admit that this is a nation under the judgment of God, all I can say is open your eyes. It is very much a nation under the judgment of God. And so what should the Christian response be? Proclaim the truth. Proclaim the gospel. Give the people around you the good news of Jesus Christ. Always be ready as you go through your days to give an answer to anyone who asks for the hope that lies within you. Be bold in your faith. Be open and visible in your faith. And share the gospel with one and all. because what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? We are concerned with the souls of men before we are concerned with the economic prosperity of the land. And I'm not saying that the economic prosperity of the land isn't important. It's very much important. But know that it is much more important that people come to know the one true and living God and his Messiah, that they would repent of their sins and be forgiven by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that yet, I urge you to repent and believe the gospel. We're just a couple of weeks away from celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is a joyous time for Christians because it is at Easter that we celebrate the accomplishment of our redemption. So understand that the redemption is possible. If you would put your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, call out to him, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So run to Christ. There is no other Savior. There's no other way to be forgiven and be made right with God than through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. If you would be saved, run to Christ. If you reject Christ, there is no salvation found anywhere else. And you should know that. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for today. I hope you have a fantastic Thursday. Remember, do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.